We are on page 13, Zayin Amud Aleph, Halacha Yud, the last Mishnah in the first chapter. This is like, again, about stuff you can do on Chol HaMoed, right, on the intermediate days of the holiday. Vosi Makal HaGag was allowed to make a parapet once around one's roof. The Torah requires everyone to have a fence along one's roof, and is allowed to make that on Chol HaMoed. Alamir Peset, for a balcony as well. But only Maisa Hedyot, only the way a commoner would make it, Avalo Maisa Uma, but not the way a craftsman would make it. Now, this is the general principle, and things you're allowed to do Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to do things which a regular person could do, not things which require a special craft. Sitteres, I once heard that there's a rabbi in Baltimore who studied car mechanics and says car mechanics is not considered to be a craft because anybody can really do it. It's just a question of actually going out and getting the knowledge. So, I know about motorcycles, but that's what he said. So he said actually allowed to take, based on that he ruled you're allowed to take your car to a mechanic during Chol HaMoed, otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to.
Carpentry, for example?
What? I guess, yeah, because carpentry, in order to get the joints, you know, in order to do a professional job, there's something, so there's a talent to it, a knack to it. As opposed to car mechanics, you don't have to be too bright. Car mechanics never struck me as being the intelligentsia of the earth. So,
obviously, the rabbi had a car required.
Well, this is before the computerization of cars. So I don't know nowadays what he would say, but that's what he said back in the 80s. Alright, so, Mushafin Esadokim, when it's allowed to smooth over cracks in the wood, Margilin Osam, and to plaster them or seal them, Vimagela, with one of the sealing tools, Biad, with one's hand, Reo, with one's foot, Avalova Mechtolayim, what is not allowed to use a specific type of tool called the Mechtolayim, which does much more extra job of sealing and smoothing. Hatsir, a hinge, Vatsinor, a pipe, Vakora, a beam, Vamanul, a key, a lock, Vamatech, and a lock, I'm sorry, Manul is the lock, Mavtech is the key, Shenishtabru, which broke, Misakno, some memoi, you can fix them on Chol HaMoed. As long as you do not intentionally set aside time to go get this work done on Chol HaMoed, because that's you're going to be free. Kibashim Shiyocho Locha Man, if you can pickle your cucumbers on Chol HaMoed and get them ready by the end of Chol HaMoed to eat, and so do with any pickled vegetable, Koshin, you're allowed to pickle it even on Chol HaMoed already. Okay? Now, says more, here the Shari Torah Eretz Yisrael reverses the numbers here. He has it as Legag Asara Lirpeses Geshlosha. In other words, there are different heights necessary for the heights of the makeh, of the parapet, around various different things. And the primary description the Torah gives to a parapet is on top of a roof. And there, in order to safeguard a person from falling, it actually has to be 10 tefachim high, about 30 to 40 inches high. However, Lirpeses, In a balcony, sits there, that's not the true chi of the rites, it's not the essential Torah requirement to do so. So in that case, 3 tefachim is enough. You don't need a full 10 tefachim, 30 or 40 inches. About a third of that is okay. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Shavin is a stocking, once we can smooth out the cracks. Tiny Rav Chia said, Hashav, somebody who smooths, Shach Beregel, he does it with his foot. Bama'agel, Mago is like finishing plaster, not so much smoothing. Mago biyat, he's allowed to use his hand. So that's the case. It seems to contradict our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that didn't differentiate. So says Amar, Rabbi Chia said, "Hashap shap raglo." The our Mishnah holds that a person who rubs. I went back a line. Masita magil ktana. Our Mishnah is with a small plane or smoothing tool, Whereas the Ma'aretai Rabbi Chiya, that which Rabbi Chiya said, is Ma'agela Gedoyla, is with the large tool. So with the large tool, you have to make a double shinui. You have to use a double change, which is really to use, I don't know what to call it, double change, but you have to use it with your foot, not with your hand, since it does such a good job. But a small one, you can use either your foot and your hand, since it doesn't do such a good job anyway, okay, of smoothing out the roof or the cracks or plastering. Says the Mishnah further, Ratzir, a hinge, Vatzinor, a pipe, Vakora, and a beam, Vamano, and a lock, Vamafteach, and a key, Shen Nishtabu, which broke, as long as you do not intend to complete your work on Cholamoy, that's why you left it for there. Kadoa, like the following case. Raimona, Idpor Uka de Sausume. Raimona, a rung of his ladder broke. Is that right? So it broke. I get on Cholamoy. So, Shaul Rabiuna, well, we'll see him in a moment. Shaul Rabiuna, a boy, he asked Rabiuna's father, but Shaulay, he needed to get fixed on Cholamoy. Because it was not a craft. It says the Gemara, nevertheless, even though he was going to permit it, he said, Amalek Puk Chamei Chad Sav. Tamarvna? Okay, so that's Tamarvna. Zion, the middle of Yud. Yud the previous. No. Yud. We didn't finish the prayer last week. We didn't finish the prayer. No.
Okay,
it's my
finished
work. Oh, you're in the middle.
Here?
You're in the middle.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go until I fall asleep.
Pardon?
You're on the right page.
No,
you never finished, didn't you? No. We didn't get that far.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking. We got to the first... We're in the middle of the second paragraph of the Gemara when they interrupted from Marder, which starts at the two dots.
Okay.
Atir v'atzinor.
Yeah.
Okay. A hinge, a tina or a pipe, a korah, a beam, a manu, a lock, a mafteach, a kish, nishba, which broke, the sacrament boy, a bixim, a chamoy, a vach, a lo, a chavis, a machlamoy, as long as you don't direct, leave your work for my yamta specifically. Kadol, like this case, Ramona, itpar ukos, the sumay, Ramona, a rung of his ladder broke. Shaul Rabbi Yonah, a voice asked him and his father, can he call fix it on Yontif? Charlie, he ladder for him. But look at this, very interesting, Gemara. Afilu Kei Nevelis Amarle, he said to his kid, Pukha Mechatzav, go find another old man, another rabbi, who smoke a love and rely on him as well. But I don't want to rule on this my own. I want somebody else to support my ruling on this. So he went out. Nafak, he went out for Ashkar Kori Bum Barkan, he found Rabbi Bum Bar Kahana. Visharlay, and he asked him, Visharlay, and he permitted for the ladder he fixed on Yontif. Before you came in, we spoke about fixing your car. But now you have to, I keep saying, Cholomoy. We're allowed to take your car to a mechanic on Cholomoy. Okay? Well, we said that a certain rabbi in Baltimore said you're allowed to, Rabbi Heinemann.
Who's actually a certified car mechanic?
So, Naaman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. He's really into. When he wants to learn something, he learns out how to do it.
That's an important fact.
Yes.
Because it distorts his teaching.
On the contrary. He became an auto mechanic, and he knows that this requires no...
And he, by becoming an auto mechanic, in order to retain his sense of humility, he has to say that it requires
You're making an interesting point. I don't think it's valid, but it's an interesting point.
How would it sound if a rabbi were to kill an auto mechanic and then turn around and say, oh, this is a craft?
Okay. Says Gemara, v'chok v'ashim, any betcha which you can pickle. Sh'yoko lech mehem mimoyed, and you can still eat it, achom yotif kosher, and you can pickle. V'akvashim she'eni yichol lechom mehem, to conclude that the ramifications of that is that the pickled vegetables which you not be able to eat from them according to before Yotav is over. Shei yochel lachom mehem mimoyit lo yinah lach pickle an chol moy. Rabbi Bar, Rabbi said, that's only if they're not going to get rotten. literally lost if they're not pickled. Alimaya Dabra Avid of a son, which if they don't pickle it's gonna be lost, it's gonna get this is ruined. Mutter you're allowed to pickle it, even if you won't be able to use pickled vegetables left the other. Time we learned Lo yeah, you ain't saving lucky does something, but you should not go out and gather grass and mark on Mashuk and sell in the marketplace. Shane Dako Lechem Emmoy, because people don't eat this grass unless they pickle them, and therefore they're not gonna eat them on Yontif. And therefore shouldn't be gonna pick the grass on Yont on Chol HaMoed in order to sell it. Rabbi Shavosha said, Im Oimrat Kane, if that could you if you say that, Nim say Sumatir so umnus memoy, then it's gonna come out that people are gonna permit to do crafts and work on Yontif on Chol HaMoed, right? Because if you're gonna say you're allowed to gather stuff on Chol HaMoed, so people are going to come and do craft on Chol HaMoed. Craft here meaning harvesting their fields and everything, the laborers that attend that, which we don't want them to do. So, Lo Kedamar Rabbi Bo, Hada Atom Rabbi Shein Avudin. The Din Rabbi Bo say the only time you're allowed to do something drastic of that sort, such as work your land or to do something public in that respect, is when otherwise it's going to get lost. Avim Haya Dover that Avima Dover Aved Avima Dover Aved. I read the line one before that. Locane says Locane in say Samatya someone maybe it's the right word. I didn't skip anything. So you come out there you permit the white craft specifically. I'm sorry. Yeah, these are actually, these grasses, which are growing, are not used for human consumption, used to make dyes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so dyes, D-Y-E-S.
Colors. For
dye clothing. Tie-dyed.
I was thinking metal dyes for a second. For what?
Tool and dye. Oh. No, I don't even know if they had those back then.
It's funny, a lot of times I get the wrong person.
That's
a crap.
So he says again, Rabbi Yishmael, Imaymer lo at Cain, Imaymer at Cain, deep taste of Matir Sul Nesavoy. If you're going to say that they're allowed to gather some of Chamoyt, so people are going to start doing crafts work. And Rabbi says, "We're looking at Rabbi Oba Ba Ba, or that Darman Shein Abudim." So it must be rather reasons like Rabbi Abba said. It depends if they were if they are lost or not. Sorry. So it says more that's only if they're not lost. So in other words, the criterion is basically not what's public or not, but if whatever's going to cause great substantial loss or not cause great substantial loss on your answer, right? My station been locked on Borrego.
This is all.
Right. I was just talking about where you gather stuff on Yotav itself, on Chol HaMoed. So therefore we find you that you have to wait until after Yotav in order to pickle it. My Adonai Rabbah Rabbah said you can pickle them immediately, so that's B'shalotim Rebaregel, it's when you gather them from before Yotav began, not where Yotav itself began. Okay? So, so if it's Yontif, then, or Chol HaMoed, then we say Dover Aved, some which is potential financial loss, you're allowed to gather. But,
On the Yontif
as well as Chol HaMoed?
What? On the Yontif as well as Chol HaMoed?
I can't hear you.
On the Yontif also?
I meant Chol HaMoed. So, Again, Matisse Mishalachim Beregel, our mission is when you gather it on Yontif, so then you can't pickle no matter what. However, Mother Rabbah said you can pickle if it's ready on Yontif, but Shalokta Me'er Regal, that's where you collect them from before Yontif began.
Never find anything that's fermented?
Yeah. And it's fermented, if it can be used, they're really two criteria. If you use it on Yontif, and if you don't do it, then it's going to get lost, and you make sure you do it on Yontif.
Right.
Right? On Cholmoid. If you're not going to be able to use it on Cholmoid anyway, so for sure wait till after. Right?
If it's going to
deteriorate,
like a fruit or vegetable,
then you can take care of Cholmoid, or pick me whatever.
If it's something that will, it's a grain,
right,
it will not deteriorate.
And leave it. Right. Okay. Says Mr. Fuller for a new parak. Misha afach his eis on piyiru ones. Somebody who turned over his figs, his olives, and then he had some accident before it. I skipped a review. Avel or ones, or an accident, mourning fell upon him. Somebody died in his family, or he had some other compelling reason to cease to work. Or somebody made him make a mistake. That was, he hired workers on the false pretenses, and then they deserted his job. So what can he do in order to prevent total loss of his crop, which is sitting prepared to be pressed? Towing Korishon, he puts on the first beams. So you do the first batch, or do the first batch relatively superficially, and and does the rest after Yontif. Rabbi Yossi says, turn the page. Zole to Gomer, you can literally scatter around the olives and finish the pressing kidarko, the normal fashion. In other words, if you're afraid of some loss, then you're allowed to do it the proper way, even on Chomoid, even the full 10 yards, not just 9 yards. Okay? Sesmar. Anatina, we learned Misho Havach is Zesov. Somebody turned over his olives once. Rabbi Chia taught us Mishayu Zesov Hafuchim Ushnuyim. It means people whose olive trees themselves were turned over twice. Okay? Not the olive trees, what we're talking about. Sorry. It means that they're turned over twice as opposed to turned over once. The olives, when they're getting prepared to be pressed, they're turned over. Okay, turning. I don't know exactly how it works, but they turned over and mixed around. Prepare them for squeezing out oil.
Right. So it's preparing them for pressing at that being compared to fermentation.
No, but we it will though. No, but you're right. But it will though. We're gonna get back to wine.
You can't ferment an olive and
what?
You can get an olive oil. Right. I mean, you can still ferment it out. Okay. Guess what? When you buy,
that's where you can buy food.
Mediterranean olives are all fermented.
Yeah, but
the Greeks didn't get it. The Greeks got it from the Arabs.
Oh, those are fermented corn oil.
Yeah, they're fermented.
Okay.
It's okay. So the bottom line is that Amish says to tell you about a case where you turn them over once, and Rabbi Chista tells you about a case you turn them over twice, and this is all prior to the pressing process. So the Chista says then you can do certain leniencies in terms of mukta and such like on Shabbos, on Yontif. So says Umar, Masnitza Tzrichel Rabbi Chia. Our mission requires Rabbi Chia's statement. Rabbi Chia Tzrichel Masnitza. Rabbi Chia requires the mission statement. Again, our mission is talking about where you did one turning over, and the Bryce is talking about where you did two turning overs. Okay? So says the Gemara, Ilu Tanina Velo Tanin Rai Lichia. We just have to learn the Mishnah, not have learned Rabbi Chia. Avinami would have said, Lomran Ela Misha Hofchan Pam Achas. Let's tell you, we're going to turn over one time that we let him go and save his olives from certain rottenness on Yontif. Avoim Hofchan Mishanya, but if he did it twice, Divrael Kol Mutter. I'd say everybody agrees that it's Mutter, right? Have a tzurich lemasisa Rabbi Chia. That's why we need Rabbi Chia is to tell us that Let's do that over again from the third line in the Gemara. Ilutzina, where we have learned this Lotan Rabbi Chia, and we not have included Rabbi Chia in our perusal. Rabbi Chia says that it's that you have to have turned over the olives twice in order to have dispensation to work with them on Yonkel. We would have said Avir and Ami would have said Im lo amron el misho afkan pamachas. It's only somebody who turned it over once. And Lachon Mishanya, that we have Machlokas in our Mishnah, what to do. And Lachon Mishanya, we did it over twice, Ibrah Kol Mutter, everybody agreed it's Mutter to Mutter. Have a Tichlam Asdisa, the Rabbi Chia, that's when you Rabbi Chia to tell us that even the case where you turn over twice is still a Machlokas. Or we Lutan, Rabbi Chia, Lotanina, Ana, Lotanina, Rabbi Chia, just said Rabbi Chia, not our Mishnah. However, I mean, we would have said, that the only time that there's any leniency, even as a machlokas, is when he turned over twice. Only turned over once. I would say the miracle also, everybody did it's forbidden. Have a tzurchel of asisa. Tell me, the Mishnah requires the bride tzurchel asisa. The Mishnah bride tzurchel requires. The Mishnah wants to show there's one continuous discussion. So says the Gemara. All right, Pinchas Barabbi Zakai. Another difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Masnisa b'sedinim, batinim. Our Mishnah is talking about with tough olives. I think it's actually more fully ripe olives. Yeah. Our Mishnah talking about this is going to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, which forbids it, is going on overly ripe. Olives. One second. Our mission is talking about olives which are actually not as strong as the olives, so therefore they won't last the entire holiday. That's why we have to take care of them now. My story about is gargarim, tougher olives. And therefore, they'll stay fresh longer since they're tougher olives, literally shell encased olives. Therefore, by the time they get around to one second. I have to kind of stand up. I'm going to sleep too much. Rabbi says, Yes.
If you're tired, you should sleep.
No, it's okay. It's an easy plot. We can finish in 5 minutes. You better stay awake for 5 minutes. We can get things done.
So you got to stay awake while you're driving home.
That's true. But then I have coffee for it. It's a 5 minute drive. We'll see how far we get in another 5-10 minutes.
You're really tired?
What?
You're really tired, just put the coffee in your lap.
Yeah.
Don't brush it.
Then I'll sue you. All right, Vilchus Rebbe. Okay, Vilchus Rebbe, sub Rebbe Saka said, Masnisim Batinim, Armish is talking about soft olives. And since they're soft olives, so therefore, even if you only turn them over once, you still have to start pressing them before you have to begin. Otherwise, it's going to go bad, right? The Gemara, the Braith of Rabbi Chia is talking about when you turn them over twice, because it's talking about harder olives, gargarin, and they only start getting ruined once you turn them over twice. And that's why, since that's the case, then Bryce only allows you to start pressing them once you turn them over in preparation twice instead of once. Again, because they're tougher olives, so it takes more to make them susceptible to ruination. Okay? Rabbanan Kisarin, I mean, the rabbis of Katsur Kisarin said, Masisa Krabi Huda. Arm is the guy like Rabbi Yehuda, who might have taught him, Rabbi Chia, which Rabbi Chia is saying is Rabbi Yosa. That was a little bit difficult exactly what that means, but he explains this very nicely in the Ridbaz on the bottom. He says, interestingly enough, different than that we learned till now. When stuff is turned over once, it's more susceptible to going bad than when it's turned over twice, because once it's more aerated, I guess, turned over twice, so then it's less susceptible to being ruined. Don't ask me, but that's how the Ridbaz explains it. So he says, so in our Mishnah where it says if you turn over once, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to press it, it's because when you turn over once, it's very susceptible to going bad, right? Very susceptible to going bad because it's only turned over once, it's not sufficiently aerated, they're not fully dry, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda allows you to continue to press the olives and those sad situation.
Let me finish the
Bryson. However, the Bryson is talking about a case where you press them over twice, right? You did them twice. You go and you did them twice. They're actually less susceptible to ruination because they're aerated, whatever happens. So that is actually where Rabbi forbids you to press them even once. The only one who allows you to press them is Rabbi Yitzchak. And why the difference between the two opinions? Let's just go a couple lines further. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudomer, because Rabbi Yudah says, Yova Dover Mamuot, and Chomoy, we let you suffer a small loss, Vayodov Dover Mruve, but not a large loss. So therefore, if you turned over twice, then not to press on Chomoy is a small loss, because it won't get so bad. And therefore, don't press. But you've only pressed them once till now, so therefore you can turn them over once till now, you can press the olives, because if you don't, then you're going to get a major loss. Again, because one time it's worse than two. And Rabbi Yehuda says the exact opposite. Rabbi Yehuda says, we allow the Chomoy not to suffer any loss. You don't have to undergo any loss of Chomoy whatsoever. So therefore, he holds that even if he already turned it over twice, and therefore it's less susceptible to going bad, nevertheless it's somewhat susceptible, even a minute amount, that's why you're allowed to actually continue and press them on your on Chol Hamoed proper, you don't have to wait till after Yom Tov. Yes?
Okay. So the real Mavolkus is over the principle of whether you are allowed to take such action as is necessary to eliminate the chance of loss on the one hand,
yes,
or alternatively minimize it in view,
yeah,
of the knowledge of olives. In other words,
yeah, this is actually, but the olives is a specific case, which is just, you know, case law.
What's fascinating is they start in the particular and then they get to the general. You've got rabbis arguing over.
Right.
When you turn over and when you press it, because what they're really trying to do is uphold the same, here are two principles. One is minimize it to a reasonably small practical extent. The other is an ironclad rule, no loss.
Right.
Okay. But if you say minimize it,
Right.
Then you have to analyze olive tree.
Right.
How does one go
right.
about? And the rabbis seem not at all reluctant to sit there and do that.
They grow olives for a living. I don't see the problem with that.
No, I don't see it as a problem.
I know you don't see this problem. Let me rephrase that. I don't see anything particularly intriguing about this Gemara, which you seem to.
Because the rabbis, they don't start with the general. They don't say, okay, let's agree
No, I don't know if that's true, though, because it really, they are explaining the general, it's just they're going through the back door. But the case of Mishnah was indeed a case, maybe this is what you mean to say, in which case you're correct. The case of Mishnah is talking about olives, whereas it should have talked about the principle.
Yes.
Okay. But that's like that throughout Shas. That's a peculiar, specific, similar, peculiar...
Is it about olives? Is that what? I mean,
no, it was easier to deal with case. It's more concrete. Bobby doesn't know about olives per se.
Olives are illustrative?
Yes.
Or is it because...
Olives are illustrious. No.
They're illustrious too, but then... There's a point I'm really intrigued by.
Yes.
Are olives an example, an exemplar of a... methodology of a rabbinical point of view, they're holding up the olives, or are they symbolic?
No, they're an example, because you'll see in the next Mishnah, we'll deal with other things which are also examples.
And so all it is the case.
Right.
So that if you were talking about another vegetable, it turns different.
It would be different, I'll know, sure.
You compare your olives and grapes, your apples and oranges, mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's no generalization here at all.
Well, there is. I mean, Rabbi Yosef, we just said it in generalization terms. We said that one, Rabbi Yehuda says, a small loss, we do not eliminate on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yosef says we even eliminate small loss.
But the rabbi says, I eliminate even the small loss, has the advantage of, I don't mean this politically, methodological extremism. Says no, anything.
Right.
Absolutism.
Here for leniency, though.
Of course, for leniency.
Yeah.
But this is not a Shammai Hillel thing. What it really is is to me, it's fascinating. You got one rabbi who says absolutely nothing, and so all you do is sit there and say, I detect, I smell a whiff of loss. No. The others have to grapple with the idea, well, how much loss is minimal? How much minimalness is required is acceptable? Where do you draw the line? And in order to...
Well, yeah, it would be much more convenient to rule like the opinion which holds that no loss whatsoever. It's very difficult to accept the opinion for practical reasons, that a small loss is insufficient and a large loss is sufficient to allow you to desecrate the moed, because who's going to reckon what these things are? That's how it's about. That's not what you find intriguing.
Also, because everything becomes very specific to the vegetable issue. Everything becomes enormous.
Well, you should wait till next Mishnah. The next Mishnah will discuss grapes. So now we'll discuss olives. The next Mishnah will discuss grapes. So you see, we're giving examples as we go along. Okay? Says, well, you have to take that faith, but it's there. It's the next page. Says Gemara, Rabbi Levi Pasha, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kishem shein chalukin kach kaim kach chalukin milchase avel." The same halachos Rabbi Yossi here about Chol HaMoed, when you Chol HaMoed same thing by an avel. As no person who's not available specifically in Shiva may not do any work. It's forbidden to actually not just do work, but look after his affairs. You can't, because Shiva would be a time, you take out your bills, you start paying bills, right? You can't do it. You're not allowed to. Okay? That's what it says here. The Tanya we learned, Elu Dvarim Shosim LaAvel B'Mei Avlo. These are things you do for him, other people can do for a mourner when he's mourning. Dorkin Avato, if he had a pile of olives, you can press them. The Zogina said if he had wine left out, you could sprinkle it for him. The governess chavirs, and you seal his barrels for him. The zeitav apuchim ushtuim, and if his olives are turned over, and turn it over again! Second time. Very key. Turned over twice. Tochlan gedarka, then you can grind them in oral fashion. Umashkin beis hashachisho, and you can irrigate his field, which requires irrigation. Shekiah's mildly shows when it's time for it to receive its water. Tapaches, Vizonas Nihoi, you plant his harvested field, Pishton, with flax, Beravia, with the first rains have fallen. Not the first rains, quarter of the rains. Divra Buda. Armeloi said, no! Inaina Zora Pishton, if you can't plant in flax during these 7 days, which I guess is that there's a very small window of opportunity for planting flax, so we don't allow somebody else to go in for him and plant for him. Let him plant something else later when he gets it from Shiva. If he can't plant this week, he'll plant next week. It's similar. We don't allow any desecration for that purpose. So Mani Amrulo, who's the one who said this language of Amrulo, that you can't, that we let him just plant something else? Rabbi Yosa, it's Rabbi Yosa. Ooh, he says the more. That's Rabbi Yosa, so that means Rabbi Yosa is the first Tana. Well, Mechava, she tells to Rabbi Yosa, that's a contradiction. Rabbi Yosa, it seems to have changed positions. Taman Uomer, in our Mishnah, he says, Yova Dora Memuat, let him lose a little bit by Yova Dora Memuat, as long as he doesn't lose a lot. That's why he can only press his alves once. V'kar Marachen. But here he says we diminish him from any loss. And that's why, if he could have planted flax, even though the next week he can still plant some other commodity, but it's not quite as expensive as flax, so we go in and we plant this flax for him. So that shows that we're worried even about a small loss, right? So it says, here he says we're not worried about a small loss. Says, so Shani Tamar, Chomoyd is different. You know why? Because Jews are Jews. Shedarko Larim, and Jews, look, if you let them, give them a finger, what are they going to take?
The whole
body. So if you let them put, any work, do any work on Chol HaMoed, Jews are going to say, let's leave all our work for Chol HaMoed. So that's why you have to be more stringent about Chol HaMoed than about Avelus. The person's not going to leave work for Avelus. The person doesn't, of course, anticipate having to go into Avelus. But a person does anticipate Chol HaMoed, he's going to plan his calendar around Chol HaMoed for all those household jobs. So that's why we tell him that in the case over here, if it's going to be small loss, too bad by Chol HaMoed. But by Avelus, even if it's going to be small loss, we do for him what we can. Okay?
Isn't that very uncharacteristic? I mean, if you're a farmer, and
like us, we're being humane?
No, because they're listing all these things you can do for the farmer.
Yeah.
You imagine the farmer saying, wait a second, I make these judgments.
No, you don't. You're not Avelus.
So get off my land.
We're doing you a favor.
Warning.
By what?
Natalie.
No, we know that that's what he would have wanted to do. He's our neighbor. We know what he wants to do.
Okay.
They could kick him. You could kick them off. You know, he doesn't have
to. Can you direct them?
No. Can't direct them. They can ask him questions, but he can't go out and direct the procedure.
So they can ask him questions?
Yes.
With sufficient specificity to
right.
Rise to the level of any direction.
Right. But not explicit direction. Okay. Says Gemara, since these are all the Rabbanim, so therefore we can do what we want in these areas, you know? That's the fudge factor. By the Rises, by Torah law, you don't have this kind of wiggle room. Right there, one, and sometimes you can drive a truck through the wiggle room. Okay? So, David, but James Brennan speaking in all seriousness, the prohibition on doing work when a person is in Orville is relatively strict. So, you know, it's not something which is readily given. It should be Rabbi Yosa, even though it says Rabbi Yosa. Certainly, Rabbi Yosa changes opinion, because by us, he says even the smallest loss we're afraid of, and thereby, Avelis, he says if it's a small loss, if it's not flax, it'll be another crop not so terrible. So that's a contradiction, right? Ma'is tamon shadarko la'arim, says the Gemara, if over there by Yotin, where a person plays tricks, right, by Chol HaMoed, at Omar Mutar, right? You say it's permissible. Afkan, so to, in other words, to say the slightest amount, Afkan, Kach ain't that glaring, you know, where you don't plan for your relative to die. They give you shiva to get work done, right? So then, Lokoshke, it's certainly, what? Some people do, I know, but usually it's insurance money. So anyway, in that case, you certainly are not going, why should you not allow the guy to even make sure that he doesn't suffer the smallest loss, right? Or why shouldn't you allow us to make sure he doesn't suffer the smallest loss? So Rabbi Chinah, said, Mano Amrulo, who's the Amrulo who said that you should allow him to, who's the one who said that here, that you should, if he doesn't plant the flax, or plant something else, so it says, the Gemara, Chachamim, it's not Rabbi Yoso who says, of course, you would. If he wanted to plant flax, you would only plant flax. It's Chacham Shem Shizus Rabbi Yehuda B'moed, Chacham Rabbi Yehuda B'moed, that a small loss we allow you to suffer, and so too, by means we allow you to suffer the small loss and have your field planted with something other than flax. Okay? If your wine was already in the cistern. Viru Avel, and then he became an Avel, onus or something happened, Oshishaydu, or your workers walked out of you, they went on strike, or they tricked you and left with all your machinery. Zolei Bekomer, you can complete the way smoothly what you're doing. The Gav Kedarko, or put barrels on the normal way. Divi Rabbi Yosef Kodin Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yilomel, I said, Lowly Mudim, you can't go that far and make barrels, or close barrels. Just put planks on top of the wine, shouldn't go bad. So obviously, again, he's only allowed something that's going to be a complete loss or a major loss, now it's going to be a minor loss. Okay? Says the one Rabbi Zerba says, Lomar Elo, V'chein Shoyo, Yeno V'Sochabor. It only says if your wine is already in the well, in the cistern, Habitchilo Lo, but it, before the fact, if you haven't yet pressed your wine, you're not allowed to press it on Chol HaMoed. Ma'akev, what are you talking about? It was already time to harvest the grapevines. He did not harvest. He sinned for himself. Of course he don't let him do it on Chol HaMoed. That's simple. By the time Yom Tov came around, was he had time to harvest the grapes? Yachol have a claim. Then anyway, he should just forbear. In what case is it permissible to partake? Okay, now claim should heal his man and leave tzar. It's a case where it is already time to harvest. Have a sorrow to Yachil Kayim. He thought he could wait till after Yom Tov, but lo kam, it turned out he was mistaken about that. So then he can harvest his grapes even of Yom Tov. Count to all at the time of case. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai caught off karma. He harvested his vineyard b'moado and Chol HaMoed. So guess what happened? Jews are Jews. Everybody else saw it. And they harvested their fields as well, even though it wasn't necessary for them, right? The next year, in order not to lead everybody else astray, to emulate his example, he left his vineyard, even though it shriveled over Yom Tov and was no good afterwards. Okay? Says the Gemara, summing up that situation, Yalfun Mikal Kolose. People like learning from people's negative, literally their ruined deeds. We talk not say loyal from people don't like learning from other people's positive deeds. Okay? So that's why, even though according to the strict letter of law, you'll be allowed to harvest whatever is necessary to save himself from loss, nevertheless, he did not do so because people started watching him and harvesting even where it was inappropriate. Okay, Rabbi B'Shem Barashi. You're allowed to make a fishnet on Yom Tov. Lots of chomoyt, lots of badogim to hunt down fish. Ready to testify that this is, I'm not sure exactly what this is. Oh, sieve, that's right. You have to make a sieve, Madim Mamadan, on Yotav Litzar Chomoy, on Chomoy, for the purpose of Chomoy. Rabbi Amir Ebuim Pumpia, pumps! Rabban in the case Sarin, the rabbis of Kasuk Kesarin said, they said, Masikin the passing this was allowed to fire up in a kiln various different pots of Tzor Chamoy for the purpose of Yontif. Shmuel said, Safkin Garba, you can line with pitch to make waterproof a large vessel. Below Zafkin Kufta Kuzta, not a small vessel. Zafkin Garba, the Zifta, the Kadkakirkira. You line those with the dakira, very thin level of pitch, so therefore it doesn't cost so much. Lozaftin kusta de zifta, it's not so much tircha, I should say. Lozaftin kusta de zifta glida. You don't do the inner lining of a kusta of a pitcher because it has a thick lining. A thick lining is much more of a pain. It's mechalfe. Some say the exact opposite. Zafkin kusta, you can do a small vessel and waterproof it. Below zafkin garva, not a large vessel. Upasin learned the kikichi l'shaw. Passing zafkin kusta shilashaw, a kusta which is a temporary thing. I don't know why I guess they didn't keep it around. So there, below Zafti, on the contrary. Make a mistake. Zafti includes Kusta Shila Shah. You're allowed to, according to this perspective, line and waterproof a small vessel because there, when you line and waterproof it, it's temporary, right? It's not made to last. Okay? It's going to be thrown out shortly. Lozati garva is supposed to barrel that if you put it in the pitch, that's made chi lishdos, it's made for a long time to sit lishdos, to a long time to sit around, so therefore that's more stringent. Okay? In other words, we're not allowed the two opinions here. One is that which has a thicker lining is prohibited, that which has a thinner lining is permissible. The other is that the one which is made permanently, that should be the thicker lining or the better lining, and that which is temporary is the thinner or worse lining. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Machlisa la pirosa nech ganovim. First, can bring in his fruit because he's afraid of thieves. V'shach b'shtono min ha-mishra, and can send his flax out of the place where it's soaking. V'shul shlo tov and all should be lost all this in chol ha-moy. Again, we had this before. As long as one does not intentionally put up your work to chol ha-moy. V'im kimnu malachtum kimnas malachtum ha-moy, and they intently the work of chol ha-moy, they obey you, tough luck, they have to lose whatever they're doing. It says you're allowed to actually bring it in from the field. Like Rabbi Yehuda says, for a small loss, we now compensate you, so let him hire a watchman to sit out in the field, or let him sit there himself. So Masi Darmi Sibylla Rabbi Yossi says, even a small loss, a small expenditure, we don't make you spend on Chol Hamoed. Rabbi Yaakov Rav Sheir Abundant said, no, here it's different. Prakmatio Aveda Shari Metaf Lamoada. Stop merchandising, otherwise we lost, you're allowed to carry on Yontif. On Chol Hamoed, actually. Why is that? Because he said, this is a different type of thing. It's not actually the same type of area we were talking about before. We're actually transgressing something in a more direct sense. You're just carrying something heavy. And what's there, you're extracting oil from owls. That's a prohibition. It's a prohibition. Granted, Chol Hamoed, it's not so terrible, but the idea is that it's pre-existing and you have to tap into that.
I understand that, but the previous point was difficult. Something about you're not allowed to pitch, but you can throw it out.
No, I mistranslated that if I had said that, or I give you the wrong impression. Oh. I'm slow. I'm tired, you see? Okay. Says the Gemara further. That was not bad. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yaakov, so name it's allowed. carrying, even Rabbi Yehuda would permit. He doesn't allow, he says, a small loss you should suffer rather than perform a true melach on Chol HaMoed. But carrying, that would even permit a Chol HaMoed. Kind of, really, basically what it comes down to is Chol HaMoed, I don't know if the Gemara ever says explicitly, I don't recall, but there's no real concept of muktzah on Chol HaMoed. It's a concept of melacha, but not a concept of mukta. That's really what we're saying here. Rabbi Yaakov Rachmashari Yassi said, interesting, we're shifting gears slightly. If a caravan comes to town, are they allowed to buy stuff from Chol HaMoed? If there's a major sale, normally one is not allowed to go shopping in Chol HaMoed, even women. But if there's a major sale, you're allowed to go. Why? Because that's a davar aveh. It's a loss.
What?
That's what it says here. It says a caravan comes to town. Nordstrom's is having a sale. Only on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to go. That's the Tzevi Dover of it. That, something, a loss which you would suffer otherwise.
You're Babli too.
What? You're Babli too. Yep.
That's the rule?
Yeah. Why does it bother you? Do you find this intriguing?
No, I don't find it intriguing. I find it illuminating.
Okay. The Jewish mentality. Alright? So says the Gemara. Now shifting gears yet a little bit more. Have you other Shirosameo, you're let's say you're a chveis, you're a suit salesman, okay? A haberdasher. And you know there's a shipment coming in from New York which is gonna undermine the price of suits in town. Right? So the shaila is, since you know there's a caravan coming in, can you sell your suits now on Chol HaMoed in anticipation of the caravan which is coming right after Chol HaMoed? Which is a very cute question, which you usually don't find in the Gemara, such a specific question. But that's what I was asking here. If you knew a caravan is coming down and your merchandise would go down in value, what's your status? So I'm gonna say, if you know that if you don't sell now, Vupachas, you're gonna lose, it says here mean agra from your profit, but the Rishonim actually changed it to mean karna, and you're gonna lose from your principal, Yasmin, and you can sell in Chol HaMoed. If you love not, lo Yasmin should not. No. Agra the karna, the profit plus the principal, Karen was really principal. He was a good capitalist. He knew that people don't sell things at cost because they don't make money on it. So he's saying even if you're not going to lose from the capital, from the principal, but you're also going to lose from the profit, you also get to sell early in Chol HaMoed to avert that loss. So that's what he says, Agra the karna, Karen. In Yadat the Lom, this is saying, you know, if you don't sell now, Lupachas, you're going to lose the tribute, mean Agra, from your profit, the Yizbin, then you can sell even Chol HaMoed. Ilo, if not, Lo Yizbin, you shouldn't sell Chol HaMoed. Okay?
So it's the loophole that ate the world.
The loophole that ate the world. It's a good way of putting it, but I would not be that cynical as you may. You are being somewhat cynical. You realize that, right? Yes. Okay. Somehow I attract all these cynical people. I don't know why this happens. My luck. So let's go further. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosa. We're almost at two blocks. Just a couple more minutes. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosa, Horan Bahadin Lasuta. They said, same idea what you had before. If a ship comes to town, the boat comes in, right? Share Mizbenase Bahada. You can buy stuff from Chol HaMoed, but there's a catch. The Tzorach Moed only for the purpose of Chol HaMoed. For the purpose of Yom Tov. Okay. Before we said if there's a special sale you can buy on Chol HaMoed. Now we're saying there's no special sale, then you can go if it's for the purpose of Yom Tov. Okay. Now you talk, although this is a cynical comment, you talk about the loophole through which you could drive the world or something.
They ate the world.
Well, here's how it plays out. Okay.
You're enjoying this part too much.
Rabbi Yitzhak Lazar told or gave a directive. Rabbi Yeshua Bar Shime, Dava Porch, who's going out to sea for business purposes, on Chol HaMoed. He says, in at Yoda that Masbin, if you know that you're going to sell stuff or buy stuff, the Ilfa Murcholach, and the boat will wait for you. But us, say, Mishtoi Gabani, you can come back to us to drink with us, a drink, Chavad Yontif during Chol HaMoed, Zavin you can go to sell, if not Lotis, meaning you can't go to sell. So basically what I think he's saying is, although I'm not 100% sure about this, they're saying is that as long as the boat trip to go sell will not deprive you of the joy of Yontif when you come back and drink wine with me tonight, then you're okay. You can actually go out and out of business, do business dealings on Chol HaMoed, as long as at some point you will be able to reconcile that with your joy of Yontif. Okay?
Joy.
The happiness, you know, observance of Yontif, the happiness. Come back and drink.
Not always.
Well, Chol HaMoed. Yontif, of course, is the other components, like Shabbos, right? Refrain from work. But Chol HaMoed.
The holiday we just had.
What holiday did we just have?
Tishbav.
Tishbav's not a holiday.
Well, you don't take off for anything.
It's depressing.
You go to work in a
bit. It's depressing day. They're talking about days of joy. The Yontif's divine is a day of joy. So if you'll be able to have the joy at the same time you're going out to work, not at the same time, you know, good. In the course of the same day, then you can go out to work. That's what he's saying.
There's a certain amount of joy in Tishbav.
No. Anyway, it's not relevant to this Gemara. No, not relevant to our Gemara. No.
Are there other holidays that have such a very lachrymose component to them that would...
A what component?
What?
Lachrymose?
I don't want to say lachrymose, but it's a big, it's like for me too. I mean,
what was
it? Well, sad.
What's the difference? We're talking here about Pesach and Sukkot, so it's the only difference that's Chol HaMoed. And that's why we're talking specifically about joyful concepts. Yeah. We're talking about Tisha B'Av, then you're right. We could discuss it, but that's not the discussion on Gemara. The discussion more specifically called Chol HaMoed. So it's a different ballgame. Okay? So says Gemara, Rabbi Yona Butzrei, Rabbi Yona from Butzra, Havali Safrini, have books he wanted to sell. Sure, I'm going to ask Rabbi Yona, Mau Mizatim bin Moadak, I sell him in Chol HaMoed. I'm going to say, he said, Machte at, Machte at Moada, if you rejoice on Chol HaMoed, Shati at Kunditin, and you drink fine wines. Meaning that if when you sell them, you have more wherewithal to keep Yontif properly, then you let you engage in selling them on Yontif as well. Okay? Rabbi Chanina Chavin Drabona, you know what? This is already a new sugya, so let's leave this for tomorrow night.